Welcome to the teaching ministries of Pastor Joseph Victor. For more information, visit www.worldliberationministriesli.org.
Endurance. How many people have heard that that's a bad name? Which kind of endurance? Or patience? Patience. You just be patient for the rest of your life. That is what the world thinks. But it's a good thing. It's a good thing. And we're going to see in the scriptures how that it's a good thing and how we should endure and what we should endure. There is this, some statement I heard that's actually funny. That patience, the people that are being patient, they are never patient. You agree with me, right? I don't think that's totally true, but majority of the time, it looks like it's true. People that are bearing faith don't have faith. Hallelujah. Enduring the challenging times. Enduring the challenging times. What does it mean to endure? What does it mean? In a layman's term, if something is hurting you, but you are taking the hurt. That is what it means to endure. That simple. That's why people say it's not a good thing. But guess what? If you were ill or sick, and the doctor said, oh, we are used to this kind of situation, and we have the cure, and the cure is a big injection. How many people have seen some injection and you run like, no, I don't want this injection. You know, there are some injections that have tiny needle. There are some that have very big needle. Mm-hmm. And then you saw it, and that injection has a very big needle, very big, big needle. You know, when I was young, I'm using this example, because when I was still coming up, but you know what I mean. I used to fear injection. I didn't like it. Then if my dad take me to Dolu Clinic, he will have to slap me many times, put fear in my mind, I have to take it. Still, the fear will not let me take it. Then they have to seize my leg like this, seize my hand. I remember then. So, now, that was like me being a child. Now, you've grown up, and you now see the importance of that medication they want to give to you, that injection. And as big as that needle is, what are you going to do? Because you want the cure, you don't want to keep being sick. What will you do? You endure the pain. So you see the benefit of endurance. We're not saying be stupid though. We're saying endurance. Now there are some endurance that just don't make sense. So endurance is taking a pain. You know this thing is painful, but you're just going to take it. That's endurance. That's what it means. I remember also, I'm using these stories so that I can drive home the point. I remember the first time I had to actually endure, and I knew that it was endurance I was enduring, was when I did like basic karate class. And man, have you seen endurance before? I mean, have you taken a karate class? Anybody have taken karate class here before? You have, so you know what I'm talking about. You will see endurance now. Endurance, you endure. They will tell you that that's the key when you are starting. You have taken two now. You didn't raise up your hand. You don't want to let us know that you're a black belt, Abby. Uncode, okay. You know, so they will give us some kind of exercise, and they will expect us to remain in that position for a very long time. Guess what? It's very painful. It's very hurting. But you have to be there. If not, you can't cross to the next class. You're not going to get better. You're not going to get better. Endurance. So that means that endurance has a benefit. Without endurance, you can't pass the class that you're in. You know, we always talk about faith and faith and faith. But there is such a thing as enduring the time that you're in. You know, many times people complain or not complain, or maybe complain, or tell me what they are going through at the moment, right? They tell me what they're going through at the moment, and honestly, it's really hurtful or it's really bad that they're going through things like that. But guess what I tell them? I tell them, listen, you're going to miss this stage. You're going to, I still told somebody yesterday, and she's probably watching us right now. I said, you're going to miss this stage. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. You know, sometimes I just miss some stages I've gone through before. I just miss it. I'll give you an example. Let me give you one good example. So when I was in secondary school, which we call, maybe here it'll be junior high or middle school, because it wasn't like senior high. I had a very wonderful guardian. I was in a boarding house. I had a very good guardian. The husband used to be a Panwai tapper. James laughs. What do you know about Panwai? He used to be a Panwai tapper. So when he set the palm, the thing to gather the palm, whatever they gather, I don't know how they do it. But all I know is that when he brings that concentrated thing at home, when I'm around, we are the one that used to help him mix it. Well, he mixes it. I was like 8, 9, 10, whatever. He mixes it, but we are the ones that like just help him, you know, tell him whether the thing is still sweet or not sweet. You understand what I'm saying? And then, not just that, because, you know, Akoko Edo, you know, Ibilo. So the wife and he is a palm oil tapper. The wife is like a farmer. So what they do is they go, they farm, they produce cassava. When they produce cassava, they would we'll peel it. So I used to join them. I loved it. We'll peel the cassava, you know. Then what next do we do? We would, I think we'll grind it. After grinding it, we'll put in like all these gari sacks. Then we'll tie it and put something on top of it. After 3 days, we'll now bring it out and start frying it. I fry it too. Now, sometimes, recently, I used to miss it. I miss it. But guess what? At that time, anybody in that situation might be feeling like, oh my God, is this how I'm going to live my life? You get what I'm saying? So in that moment, it might look challenging, it might look tough. Well, not for me. Me, I enjoyed my life. I enjoyed it. But I'm saying that people might be in that kind of situation and they might be feeling like the world is about to be over. Oh my God, is this how my life is going to end? But guess what? Enjoy it. Endure it. Enjoy it while enduring it. I tell people, I said the formula for success is be contented, or the formula for growth is be contented of what you have. Be contented. Be ready to manage it and be contented as if that's the last, that's the only thing you're going to have. But always also what? Strive for more. So be happy with the state you are in. If it is this little you can afford, be happy affording it. Then while you're happy affording it, some people say, well, that's just being settling. Don't settle. Be happy with it. If this is where God has ended his help in my life, his blessing, I'm very happy, I'm grateful. Then you strive for more. That's how you become successful. Ask anybody that you're looking up to today. This formula is what they did. If you are not contented with where you are, if you are not happy and praise God for where you are, you will not go to the next level. And remember, this world works by principle that God has set. He has set. There is no other principle that is working by, but the one that God has set. Now, why? Let me give you another introduction, then we go into the why. Another story. So, do you know that you can be, let me use ill now, or sick now. Let me use that one. So oppressing is going through, or let's use general stuff. Somebody's going through a challenging time, a very challenging time. But he's not quick to change it. He's not quick. You know how something happens and people just enter into prayer? Can you wait first? Let's even know what the problem is. Do you get what I'm saying? Like something just happened. Like calm down, be calming down. Let's know what the problem is. Endure, yes, it's painful. It doesn't make sense. It shouldn't happen. But wait first. Let us figure out what the problem is. Then even after you figure out what the problem is, wait. Enkrateia, wait, hold yourself. Then after you hold yourself, then there will be a set time. See, people who jump into mostly prayer, something just happened, they just jump into prayer. Oh, blood of Jesus. Oh, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God. Those people, they will pray for 24 hours. They will pray for years. They will pray for months. And they might not get the answer. And even if they do, they won't get it on time. But the one who saw that problem and waited, he was just trying to figure out, because there was no move to solve it. So he was just watching and enduring the pain and of the challenge, but he was just watching it. And immediately there was an opening. He knew that what if I say it now, it's done. What happens? He will say it, and in a split of a second, it will be done. Endurance. We'll look into that next time. That's not what we're looking at today. That just came to my head now. Let me give you a quick example. Look at Jesus. We'll look at that too. But look at Jesus. When he was sleeping in the boat, and they came to him and said, Master, don't you care that we perish? As though he wasn't in the boat with them. He was in there with them. Don't you care that we perish? Jesus said, look at these guys. You don't even have faith. What is the problem? Jesus didn't rush up. Eh, what happened? There's wind and wave. Okay, come on. He didn't do all that. He took his time. Okay. Do you think he wasn't feeling that the boat was going like this? He was feeling it. But he understands this principle I'm sharing with you. While enduring that whole tussle here and there, he took his time, came out, and at the set time, there's a set time, he made a decree and it happened. We'll look into that next time. Let's continue from basics. What would make a person endure? I gave you the story of you had a sickness or a disease and an injection is going to solve the problem. What is making you endure the injection? Because there is a hope that when they give me that injection, I'll be fine. Is somebody still with me? So what brings endurance? Hope. Hope is what will make you endure pain. If there is no hope, you're going to figure out a way out. Like, you can't be enduring this thing forever. But if you know that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, you're able to endure. So hope, what makes you endure? Romans chapter 5. We're going to read 1 to 5. Romans chapter 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. This is the basics of your endurance as a Christian. Therefore, we have been justified by faith. So what? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we have faith, we are happy, and again, we rejoice in hope that we will be like him when we see him. And not only that, but we also glory. Have you seen it? We glory in tribulation, in persecution. We glory in challenges. We glory. We are happy. That's why I said enjoy it. Anyone that tells me they're going through it, I say enjoy it, you'll miss it. Somebody is looking for children or a child and has been praying, has been married for years and don't have a child, and they complain and say, enjoy it. When the children come, you'll miss not having children. Why? Why would you have that mentality? Because you know that there's no way I'm not going to have it. It's just taking time. But you're just relaxed. You're happy. When you have hope, nothing moves you. If you know that you are going to heaven, even if they said, oh, they are coming here now with 247, you'll be like, okay, all right, let them come now. Because why? You have hope. Okay. If you also have hope that they can shoot you and nothing will happen, what will happen? No problem now. They want to come and let them come. Why? Because you have hope. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation does what? Produces perseverance. And that word perseverance is what? Endurance. That's what they call it, simile. Simile for perseverance is endurance. Tribulations. And we glory in tribulation. We are not panicking because we know that that challenge produces endurance. It helps us build our endurance capacity to endure. Did anybody say that there won't be a challenging time? Did they tell you that if you become a Christian that you will not suffer again? Well, not suffer. You are not supposed to suffer again. But did they say if you become a Christian that you won't have challenges? Nobody, I don't know if they promised you that. They didn't promise me that one. So as a Christian, you're going to face challenges. You're definitely going to face challenges. But those challenges will build your capacity to endure. Will build your capacity for faith. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance does what? Produces character. And character, hope. Hallelujah. Now, this kind of hope is not the first one. Amen. This one becomes bigger. So you had a hope that something will be done, that it cannot get worse. That was why you started enduring. Then after you have endured, and you now have character, you now have the bigger hope. Because once that one has been solved, and you get that small thing you're looking for, the hope he's talking about now is a hope of glory. That, that means God is really God. That means heaven is really heaven. Hallelujah. There's a hope that God will not fail me. There's a hope that it cannot get worse on this life, that Christ has died for me. And there's another hope that when I leave here, I'm going to heaven, which is the bigger one. So when you have that hope that made you endure whatever challenge it is that you're going through, it builds your character for the greater one. You know that everything we are doing in this life, the houses, the cars, everything, they are all going to melt away. It's for a short time. It's just for us to enjoy our short time here. The biggest thing is eternity. The biggest thing is eternity. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The Holy Ghost is our down payment. He's our down payment. The Holy Ghost is the down payment that you're going to heaven. So if you have the Holy Ghost, you're going to heaven. Is somebody still here? The Holy Ghost is a down payment. If you go to places like Burlington or Walmart, anybody shop in Burlington here? Everybody do, okay. Me too. That's where I bought this clothes from, Burlington. Now, if you go there to buy stuff, there's a section they call layaway. How many people have done layaway before? You're shaking your head. You're too big. You can't do layaway, Abby. Let me see. Have I done layaway before? Well, I've gone with somebody that did layaway. Because I don't buy many things. Maybe I will have done it. Because there's nothing wrong in it. Anyway, if you wanted to, let's assume you went to the store. Because layaway is not really a bad thing, right? You went to the store to buy maybe 2 boxes you were going to travel. Then you went to space like Burlington or Marshalls or Walmart. You bought 2 boxes or Target. You bought 2 boxes to travel. And then while walking down to go pay, you only brought the money for the 2 boxes. And then you saw something else on the aisle. And you're like, wow, this looks nice. And we see this once in a blue year. So what will I do? Let me quickly grab this copy. Since I don't have the money, I'll grab this copy. I'll go and give it to them to keep down for me. And I'll put whatever change is left. Then whenever I'm passing by this area again, I will stop and pick it up. That's wonderful, right? Good. So now, when you give them the deposit for that, whatever you want to buy, what does that mean? That means it's yours. They can't give it to somebody else. They are not supposed to give it to somebody else because you already put down money on it. So they're going to wait for you. I don't know if they give them number of days or months to come, but they're going to wait for you to come back with the balance and pick it up. So that's what the Holy Ghost is to us when it comes to this heavenly race. If you have the Holy Ghost, it's a down payment. Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So God loves us and gave us the Holy Spirit as a down payment. Who was given to us? The Holy Spirit was given to us. So the Holy Ghost was given to you. In addition to everything that he's going to do for you, he's your down payment. He's your down payment. Heaven is yours for sure. But where is this hope going to come from if you haven't trained the small hope? Do you know a lot of people gave their life to Christ because of what God would do for them, what they heard the preacher say God would do for them. And there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it. 99, maybe 99.9%. You gave your life to Christ because of the good things you heard. How God can transform your life. How he's a healer. How he's the one, the creator. You know what I mean? And that's wonderful. That is the hope. That's the starting point. But there is a greater hope. This one is the one that has been given down deposit for. And how do you activate that hope? By making that first hope work. Seeing the result of the first hope. And how do you see it? By endurance, by enduring those challenging times, by not rushing. I'm saying this because somebody might be going through a challenging time now. Don't rush out of it. Don't enjoy it. Don't stay there too long, but don't rush. Take your time and walk your way out. And don't feel bad. Don't feel like, oh, man, the world is over. What can I do? My life is gone. Your life is not gone. It's just a challenge. It's just a challenge that you can walk out of. You can just get up one day and walk out of it. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to start this and we're going to, maybe if we don't finish it, we'll complete it on Thursday. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Then he says to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Please, I said that I was going to teach on this some weeks ago, if you remember. And today happens to be the day. So please, follow me. Follow me so that you don't miss it. Let's go back to 10 again. Finally, my brethren, what? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord, 1, 2, the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know, many times we hear this, wiles of the devil. And we think the devil is going to come with arrow. Some people dream dreams of where the devil is pursuing them. With cane. Or with broom. Congratulations. It's because of your mindset. That's why you're dreaming that dream. Your mindset have believed that the wiles of the devil, wiles of the devil. What he's talking about, you see what he's talking about. And you see how to win him. Look at this. It says what? We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand. This is where I really wanted to go to, but I like the introduction. Therefore, do what? Take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand where? The evil day. Was he talking to unbelievers? Can an unbeliever take up the whole armor of God as an unbeliever? What does this tell you? That Christians would have evil days. Evil days here is challenging times. You're going to have it. Everybody has it. You're going to have it at least one in your lifetime or more than one. Things will happen. Things happen. It's life. We're in life. We're on earth. Earth is where things happen. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, now from the next verse, he's going to tell you how to stand. So that you can now see that what the wiles of the devil is. And I've told you this before, but as a Christian, if you always want to win, if you always want to come out triumphantly, these are the things you need to do. Verse 14. Pay attention and take down the notes. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with what? So what's the first thing that we need to do to have? Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on what? The breastplate of righteousness. Good. Before you guard your waist with truth, what do you do first? You become what? Righteous. So having guarded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So put the breastplate of, just put righteousness first. I hope you're taking notes. I'm going to ask you this. Truth, righteousness. 15. And having shod your feet with the preparation of what? Of the gospel of peace. What is the next one? The gospel of peace. Shod your feet with the preparation of what? The gospel of peace. Peace. What does that mean? The Bible says that we are co-laborers with Christ, and we make peace between the unbelievers and God. So we are the intermediates bringing people to make peace with God. That's what it means by shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So what does that tell you? To go and win soul. So first of all, the word righteousness. Second is what? Truth. Third is what? Be a soul winner. Then the next one is what? Above all, taking the shield of faith. What's the next one now? Faith. I hope you are with me, brothers and sisters. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the what? The helmet of salvation. And what? The sword of the Spirit. The first one we wrote, righteousness, you can add salvation to that. So that it's not too long. The sword of the Spirit. You know, I told you last Sunday or two Sundays ago, how I used to pray with knife. How many people remember that? And how that lady saw me when she was going to church and started laughing at me. The people that pray those prayers now, those kind of prayers now, they haven't prayed though. I need to bring them to our era when we pray those prayers. And they'll be like, wow, we're even still learning, no? So, I remember one vigil prayer. We were praying, like we're doing vigil every day. Have you seen prayer before? We have not prayed now. And I think one minister read this scripture, the sword of the spirit. So we are all supposed to bring sword, knife, cutlass. But later, I started thinking about it. This thing did not say physical sword, though. He said sword of the spirit. And he told us what the sword of the spirit is. Can we read this together, please? One, two, go. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the spirit, which is what? The word of God. So the word of God is that sword that we took physically. It's not physical sword. It was the word of God. So what's the next one? The word of God. And the next verse says, praying always with all prayer and supplication, with in the spirit. Let's analyze this. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. That means anytime you want to pray, pray what? In the spirit. What does it mean to pray in the spirit? Even when you want to say, Lord, I thank you, what does it mean? Pray in the spirit. When you want to say, Lord, I need this, what do you do? Pray in the spirit. When you want to say, Lord, I worship you, what does it mean? Pray in the spirit. So what does it mean to pray in the spirit? Some people think that praying in the spirit is keep quiet and think about the spirit that you have never been to before. And think about it and just keep quiet. If you think that's what praying in the spirit is, let me see your hands. Nobody. Thank you. Some people think that way, maybe online. Praying in the spirit means praying in tongues. Are you still here? You want to win your battle. You want to always win. What do? Pray in the spirit. Praying always. Always. Not sometimes. Not when the spirit moves you. You know, some people think that speaking in tongues means you'll just be praying, Lord, I give you all the glory. Then Holy Spirit just enter you. Boom, like this. You know when you're watching Hollywood. And then you just start being blah, 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 and you don't even know what you're saying. That's the way you're speaking in tongue. No, that's not how it is. If you don't know how to speak in tongue, or you're not speaking in tongue, please take our beginner's class, and you'll understand it. Today is not a day to explain that. Praying always, without prayer and supplication, in the spirit, all prayer. You want to thank God, speak in tongue. That's how you're going to, that's one of the steps. Okay, let's just, next step is what? Speaking in tongue. Speaking in tongues. Always. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance. Have you seen that perseverance again? Being watchful with all perseverance. We're using the word endurance. With all endurance and supplication for all the saints. Let me explain what this one is saying. He's saying pray for every Christian. Pray for who? Every Christian. Don't be selfish. When we pray in the morning, sometimes you see what we say, pray for somebody close to you. Pick somebody and pray for them, right? Pray for people. Pray for Christians. Pray for the church. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your leader. Everybody needs prayer. But you'll be wondering, how come praying for somebody else is going to be a blessing for me? How can me praying for somebody else be what is going to make me triumph in life? We'll look into that on Thursday. Being watchful to this end with all... So okay, look at this. So, you are praying for that leader, but yet that leader, that pastor, that brother, that sister is still going off. But you are praying for them, but they are still going off. What did he say you should do? Endure, persevere, keep praying. You know, a lot of times people think if you're going to change somebody's mind, because the Bible has said the heart of a king is in God's hand, right? So they think they just go, oh Lord. And they have said, pray with the scripture. Oh Lord, the heart of a king is in your hand. I pray that when we go there, that guy will change his mind. And you pray once, and you think once you just go there, the person will change his mind. It might not happen like that. As a matter of fact, 99% of the time, it's not going to happen like that. You have to keep praying. Those are the kind of prayers you keep praying. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Keep praying for them. Keep praying for all the saints. What is the next one after speaking in tongue? Intercession. Intercession for all the saints. Or you can just put what? Intercession. And then he also said, and for me. That was why I just added it from beginning. Hallelujah. We're going to continue on Thursday. But if you have your notes, how many have we written down? What are the armor of God that I say we should have? What's the first one? 7, right? What's the first one? Righteousness / salvation. The second one? Truth. The third one? Fourth one? Fifth one? Sixth one? The last one? Did you see binding devil inside? Hallelujah. Did you see anything that concerned devil inside this thing? Did he call devil here? You know, I was telling you on Sunday how that, well, I'm not the one that invented this talk. Somebody actually had this conversation with me. I was asking me what can he do to better his community? Because it looks like the community has been adulterated with devil, devil, devil. And he made a statement that I agree with. He said, we now go to church. We went to church to serve God. We get there now, 95% of the time, it's the devil that they are calling. So I'm not asking myself, who are we serving? Is it God or devil? Did you catch that? Don't worry, you'll catch it on Thursday. So on Thursday, we're going to be looking at this armor of God. How do you want to pass that class? How do you want to endure and pass the class? Those are the armor of God. Righteousness, salvation, truth. Be a soul winner. Have faith. The word of God. Speaking in tongue in all your prayers and intercession for all the saints. Rise up to our feet and let us pray. So we know from today's meeting that as a Christian, you need to endure one stage to get to the next stage. Endurance is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's not necessarily a bad thing. And we also know that hope gives you the ability, the capacity to endure. Hope. And now we're not saying go and suffer. We want to see how to get rid of those challenges. Challenges will come, yes, but we're going to get rid of those challenges. But we're going to look at that on Thursday. You have the steps in your hands. But we're going to look at it on Thursday. Just begin to say, Lord, thank you for what we have heard so far. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all that we have heard so far. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Your word doesn't fail. Mashata le pretius. Your word doesn't fail. Le ke paru katusa. Ibranonde le keba shatai. E kabaya baradeza prananonde le ketia. Mashata le ke paratia. E kranonde kebradoza tilabasha. Mante le bradigas pranade. E kebara suta libranish.
I believe you've been blessed by this ministration. If you want to reach out to us, connect with us, or partner with us, kindly visit www.worldliberationministriesli.org.